Okay, so hey, so hi, I'm Tom, and I guess thank you for staying until the end. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit about how the Native Image Builder works. So I'm a principal researcher at GraalVM, and I joined the Native Image team back in 2020. So in this talk today, I'll first give a brief overview of what Native Image is. In case you have no clue, basically it's a tool for creating standalone executables from Java applications. I'll also then kind of describe at a high level kind of what the process that Native Image is going through to build your standalone executable. And then after that, I'll give some more details about the front end of the builder. In particular, how we create Graal graphs from Java bytecode, what our Graal graphs look like, how to look at them, and also within these graphs, how we interact with both the substrate world and the host JVM. Now by the substrate world, what I mean is all the metadata methods and objects that we actually install into the final executable. And by the host JVM, I mean the JVM that's running the Native Image Builder itself. Because in case you don't know, Native Image is just another Java application. So hopefully by the end of this talk, you have a better understanding of kind of what the general builder process is, how to review and, retrieve and view Graal graphs, how within these graphs the substrate universe is represented, and how the substrate universe relates to the Java universe of the host JVM. So, as I said before, Native Image is a tool for creating standalone executables from Java applications. And what we do is through analysis, we kind of determine all the possible Java code that you could execute during runtime, and we ahead of time, or AOT, compile that. In addition to this code, we also are able to eagerly initialize some objects. We run some class initializers as part of the build process, and we inject those objects into the executable as well. Now, these objects that we're injecting into the executable would just be part of the normal Java heap. But this portion that we install during the build process is what I call the image heap. So there's some benefits of using Native Image, including that it's just a standalone executable. You don't need a JDK distribution or many dependencies at runtime. Because it's AOT compiled code, you have fast startup. Also, you have low memory footprint. Because we're doing all this stuff as part of the build process, we're able to purge a lot of the normal metadata that you, like Hotspot, has to keep around during execution. And also because we AOT compile code, we have very predictable performance. You don't have to worry about warm-up, and also you don't have to worry about any performance cliffs due to de-optimization. And yeah, Native Image works on a variety of popular frameworks, including Spring Boot, Micronaut, and Quarkus. So the 1,000-foot view of Native Image and what it's doing kind of looks something like this. So basically what we have to do is kind of suck up all the dependencies your application has, including on third-party libraries, the JDK, and kind of the runtime itself, figure out what you're actually going to execute from it, and then actually install it into code in the text section. As I said before, too, also, we're going to run some initializations as part of the builder process and take the objects that are present in those static fields in these classes and install them in the image heap. But of course, before we do that, we're going to have to convert these host JVM objects into the layout that represents the substrate world. Now, of course, when you're installing some objects into the image heap, you'll have to install the transitive closure of those objects to the image heap as well. So we have to do some object scanning. So in general, kind of the way we determine what code we have to install in the text section is we have to use a points to analysis, and we create a types reachable graph. Whereas you kind of inject more types, as more types become part of the substrate world, it implies that more code becomes reachable. So kind of what's going along on here with regards to the analysis, initialization and scanning, it's not like a one-shot thing, but it's kind of a gradual process that gradually fills out the substrate world. And the reason for that is, for example, when you scan an object, you actually might cause a new object to become that has a different type that you haven't seen before. which then might cause more code to become reachable, which then you, in that new code you're analyzing, you might actually see a new constant, which then causes more scanning. So you can see it's kind of this iterative process that we have to go through. So yeah, so this is kind of my definition, but the way I'd kind of classify the native image builder would be into four different stages. The analysis, finalize substrate world, compile, and prepare executable. So in the analysis stage, we need to do three main things. We need to create GraL graphs from Java bytecode. We need to run all the class initialization for objects we're going to install in the image heap. And we need to discover all the information that potentially is going to be installed in the substrate world. And once again, by substrate world, I mean all the metadata, methods, and objects that we put in the executable at the end. So now, in the second stage, our analysis is complete. We know all that could be possibly in the substrate world, so now we could finalize it. So what that means is we need to kind of finalize the object layout and also calculate some header information, such as kind of the metadata needed for type checks and also such things as like, you know, vtable layouts and what vtable indexes methods have. Also at this point, because the analysis is complete, we could optimize the graphs that we use based on this analysis. Compile stage, pretty self-explanatory. We just take our graphs and compile them down to machine code. And then in the final stage is when we actually need to generate the executable itself. So we need to write all the image heap objects to the data section. We need to lay out all the code we have compiled and put it in the text section. Then also any dependencies between different, you know, different methods or references to the heap, we either need to patch ourselves to reflect their layout or install relocations. And then we have to invoke the linker itself to create the executable. So yeah, this, not sure how easy this is to see, but normally when you run native image, this is kind of, on any application, this is kind of the output you get from the command line. And before I was describing four stages and kind of how does it map to this, well, I'd say these first two stages, initializing and performing analysis, correspond to that analysis stage I was talking about before. Building universe corresponds to the finalized substrate world. These next three phases, parsing, inlining, and compiling, correspond to the compile phase. And the final two phases, laying out methods and creating image, correspond to the prepare executable phase stage. So now, and we'll talk a little bit about how we create graphs. And actually the code and within the GraL repo where all this graph creation is done is in the bytecode parser. So what it's doing is it's reading the Java bytecode and creating GraL graphs from it. And this is only done at the very beginning, the first time we touch a method. And I should also mention in these slides, especially in these later slides, I've added a bunch of links to actually references to the source code. So, you know, in 20 minutes, I don't have that much, I can't go too much in detail, but I encourage you to look at these links, later on if you're really curious how, like, the nitty-gritty of how things work. So yes, from the bytecode, we create these GraL graphs only once in the very beginning, and then as soon as we create the graphs are our source of truth. We never look at the bytecode again. We could just throw it away. Everything we do operates via viewing and transforming or analyzing these graphs, including the analysis itself. We create this type flow analysis directly by looking and processing the GraL graph. And the perk of this is that it allows us to do optimizations at any point of the builder process. We can include, as soon as you optimize a graph, all later stages we'll see those changes you make, because we're always just looking at these GraL graphs. So it's nice so we could do some optimizations before analysis, and then it can make our analysis work better. So what are our graphs look like? Well, if you're familiar with Hotspot, GraL graphs look a lot like it. We both use a C of Node representation, where different nodes denote different operations or actions being performed, and then the arrows denote dependencies between these nodes. So in this graph here, the red lines are control dependencies, whereas the blue lines are value dependencies. So because the graphs are the source of truth throughout the builder process, it's very valuable to actually look at these graphs and see how they're changing. It could give you a lot of insights. And the tool we have for doing that is something called IGV, or Ideal Graph Visualizer. Now, technically this tool isn't unique to GRAIL. Hotspot for viewing C2 graphs also has an IGV. I should point out the two versions of IGV are different. So if you want to view our GRAIL graphs, please look here at the, please go to this link here and get our version of IGV. Now from Native Image, the builder process itself, the way to actually get it to dump out graphs are to add these three methods to your build command. And I've included the links here too, because you could, you know, make it only print out one method or in various levels of detail. So yeah, it's good to read the options at those links. In general too, if you want to see all the options that are available to you as flags, you could run the command native image export options all. So using IGV, what does the tool look like? Well, once again, I assume you can't see it too well, but it's not that important. But basically, in the middle, you can see the GRAIL graph itself. IGV provides the opportunity to zoom in if you want, or select a subset of the nodes, which is very important because, you know, this is a very simple graph, but usually throughout the builder process, these graphs get quite large. On the right side, when you select a node, it shows various properties of it. And then on the left side, then you can see the methods of the graphs you've actually dumped out. Now, due to a little quirk in the way throughout the builder process for any one graph, Native Image oftentimes serializes and deserializes that graph. So even for one method, you actually see it listed multiple times on this left-hand side, which is just kind of a thing to keep in mind. Now, how these different, but though the one method is listed multiple times, it's usually very easy to figure out which of these folders, like what phase of the builder process it corresponds to, because you can just look at the optimization phases, which I won't go into now either, but just for reference. The one thing I will say is this analysis strengthened graph phase is quite important, and that's the phase where we're actually injecting all of our analysis results into the graph. So that's a spot where a lot of changes are made to the graph. So now we have these GRAIL graphs, they're all important. We also need to represent Java information in these GRAIL graphs. And we need a way to query the Java world. Now, the normal way to kind of interact with the Java world in application would be to use reflection. But we really don't want to do that for two reasons. One is we need additional information about the VM internals. And second, and I guess even more importantly, is we need a degree of separation. Because, you know, if you're via reflection, what you're seeing is the Java world of the host JVM. But in these GRAIL graphs themselves, is actually we're creating the Java world for the subs. We're not creating the Java world, we're creating the substrate world. So the solution that Hotspot provided for us is something called JVMCI, or Java Level JVM Compiler Interface. And it was added to Hotspot as part of JEP 243. And it provides an API for querying the Java, JVM instance information we need. So if you kind of squint at it, it kind of has some mapping between reflection data, though it has different names. So instead of having like accesses to class fields and methods, now we have JVMCI semi-equivalents of resolve Java typed, resolve Java field, and resolve Java method. So it's important to note now, in these graphs, whenever we're referring to the Java world we're creating, or the substrate world, we always have to refer to it via JVMCI objects. So for instance, in a call, the target of the call will be a resolve Java method. Likewise, when doing a field access, when we refer to a field, it's going to be of type resolve Java field. So via this JVM CI, what we're doing is we're actually exposing our substrate world. And the way we do that is we actually create native image has its own implementation of these JVM CI objects. In particular, when we first create the graph, what we're inserting into it are analysis types, analysis fields, and analysis methods. So going back to this example here, this field here, we'll have an object that will be of type analysis field. Later on, as part of the builder process, we actually swap out these analysis types, fields, and methods for hosted fields and methods. And we do this once we've actually finalized the substrate world. So these new hosted variants, like this is also just another native image implementation of these JVM CI objects. But these new hosted variants of these JVM CI objects are created as part of the finalized substrate world stage, and they're inserted into graphs right before the compile stage via this class here, this analysis to hosted graph transplanter. Now, JVM CI is very nice and it's easy to use, but because we're creating our own objects. However, from our objects, oftentimes, they just serve as a wrapper and delegate to the host JVM, JVM CI objects. So we heavily rely on using the host JVM to answer a lot of queries for us, including just general information, such as method signatures or method resolutions. For instance, for like a virtual call with a given receiver, what would its target be? It's nice to use the host JVM for this, simply because we don't then have to implement any of this logic ourselves. However, because we do have a wrapper, we could always modify callbacks to always accurately reflect the substrate world we're creating. So we're able to add and remove fields, and we also could change method implementations whenever we want to. So one other thing I should mention is, I've talked about this analysis and hosted, but also for the constants that we represent in these graphs, we also have to represent them via the proper JVM CI way. And the proper way in graphs to represent constants via JVM CI is through Java constants. Now for native image, what we're doing is we actually wrap these normal Java constants with something called an image heap constant, which is kind of the same thing we're doing with regards to this analysis and hosted types. Normally, then we have this delegate and point to a hosted JVM value, but we don't strictly have to, and we've actually started to not in some situations now. So kind of one thing I want to circle back on is I mentioned before that the strength in graphs is a piece of code I'd highly recommend looking at, because this is the spot where we apply all of our analysis results. Granted, later on it could be further optimized based on it, but this is the phase where we inject better information about the type system via stamps, because through our analysis we've been able to sometimes figure out more specific types that are going to be used or other nullness information. We're able to fold logic checks, since it's a null if we know an object could be never null. And also in many cases, if we know a given virtual or invoke or interface invoke actually only has one possible target, at this stage we can convert it to a direct call. So yeah, with that, once again, these were the goals I listed that hopefully you have a better understanding of after this talk. And with regards to answering them, in terms of what I kind of view as the four stages of the builder, they are analysis, finalize substrate world, compile, and prepare executable. It's very worthwhile to use IGV and to look at GraL graphs, because that's kind of the main currency of what Native Image Builder is working with. And then within these GraL graphs, the way we're representing the substrate world we're creating is via representing it via JVMCI in our analysis or hosted types and objects. One good read that kind of says some more information about this, our analysis types, our hosted types, and how they relate to the host JVM, is the Java doc within Hosted Universe. So I'd encourage you to read that later if you're interested to learn more. And finally, within our JVMCI implementation, we oftentimes just use the host JVM objects to answer a lot of our queries. But we're able to, because we have our own objects, modify the results to accurately model our substrate world. And yeah, with that, I'm done. Thank you for listening. And oh, and yeah, I'll take any questions now if you have any. So yeah, any questions? Or? Yes. So the question is, how does the host world relate to the substrate world when you use it as a shared library and create an isolate? You've introduced many concepts there, right? So like the notion of for people who don't know, the notion of an isolate is that from within a native image, you could actually have multiple instances running on the same process, and that's called an isolate. A shared library doesn't really affect it. Whether it's an executable or a shared library is the same way. But the main difference between the host world and the substrate world is usually we could prune out methods or fields we don't won't actually access as part of the execution. Also, too, for our substitutions, we have to make a lot of some changes. We try not to make too many, but that's the main kind of thing that differs between the substrate world and the host JVM. But any other questions? Nope. All right. Well, thank you.